Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, with 34 verses, translation and commentary, and also we're doing part 9 of receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we have several letters and phone room responses, but right now let's all go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to bless, to anoint with his outward anointing. Because, you know, the Lord pours out his outward anointing on the Lord Jesus Christ after he was baptized in water and he moved him up into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit drove him there to be tested or tempted by the devil so that God could see what kind of metal the Lord, this human body that had God's Spirit in it, would have, and how that he wanted the whole world to know that his son had all the metal necessary to be able to not only save his own soul, but to be able to save the entire world, that is, the portion of the world that would be saved. And to all those that call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. That means not just one day out of their life, but the Lord says that we have to call upon his name on a daily basis, and continue calling upon his name on a daily basis until the end, and then we shall be saved. And we call upon the name of the Lord means the Word of God. We call on the Lord every day by opening the Bible. We're knocking on the door of the Lord just by opening the Bible and saying, Lord, we're calling upon you. Tell us what scriptures you'd like for us to read today, and so that we can have the powerful Spirit in us, the inward Spirit and also the outward Spirit, to be able to minister the gospel as Christ with his Father by the Spirit in us desires. And if we yield ourselves completely unto the Holy Spirit, which is actually God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because these three are one, then we will be able to be vessels, instruments that God can use to continue his work in human bodies in this world. We, the millions of us, are the actual incarnation of Christ, the continuation of the incarnation of the Lord. Now, the Pope said that he was the only vicar of Christ, and this is absolutely false. The Bible says that there are millions of us that were lively stones, not a lively stone. This is so cultish, and then they pray to Mary, and this is so cultish, because Mary is not deity at all. There's only one mediator to the throne of God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you anoint me with this outward anointing, and anoint anyone that will have anything to say on this tape, and that the souls will be able to hear exactly what it is that you want to tell them. Lord, I open my mouth, you fill it, so that the people, I pray that you'll fill it, Lord, so that the people out there in the world will be able to know that they're hearing the truth, and that this will edify the church, the body of Christ, the millions of souls out in the world that have joined together to become the fullness of the stature of Christ, one full body of people, members that are willing to go out into the world, not to be part of the world at all, as I hear some preachers say, that God wants us to go to university. This is such garbage, so evil, Lord, as you know. And Lord, that they will give up the old life and continue in your word, because you called the brethren from being fishermen and tax collectors and out of every walk of life to be fishers, to become fishers of men. Lord, anoint with the outward anointing, open every heart, the minds of people, and their spiritual ears. Does the heart have ears? Does the inward man have ears? Yes. Inside this body of ours, there's a replica that you can't see. The spiritual man inside of us does have eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, and has all the physical or the parts, the everything that we have, all the body parts that we have, our spirit inside looks the same way as our body does. The only difference is that our spirit, when it's saved, is perfect. And so our spirit does have spiritual ears. When God showed that to me in an office in Beverly Hills, when he shut off my human hearing and caused me to be able to hear throughout my entire spirit inside my body. My body seemed that it was, you know, very second nature, or second to, or wasn't even worth anything at all. I couldn't move, or I couldn't hear, and I just really was, it was my spirit that the Lord was talking to. And so therefore the spirit does have ears, and it does hear. And Lord, we ask that you open everyone's spiritual ears so that they can pick up on the message that you're going to deliver, that you are going to bring through me to them. And it's for them, Lord, that you're doing this. And Lord, come against every power of darkness that is going to try them, to get them to tune this broadcast out. Destroy every power of darkness, because Satan does not want them to hear your words, because it's for their very soul. Lord, I ask that you destroy every work of Satan in the name of Jesus, so that they can hear this word in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, where's the first letter or phone room response from?
Vandalia, Missouri.
Is this a letter?
Yes.
All right. Go ahead.
Dear Pastor Alamo, God bless you, your ministry, and all you do. Because of the burden in your heart for the lost souls of the world, your newsletters made it to this prison. Because I started reading them, the Lord Jesus started working on my heart and in my life, and is now the Savior of my soul. My family, unknown to me, has been praying for me, and now, after leaving my old life of crime, drug addiction, and rebellion, has welcomed me back and given me a home plan in my original home state of Indiana. I will be released on September 23, 2005. I don't want to burden them with asking for a dress-out box for my travel after everything I've put them through. Could you please send me one?
Yes, indeed. Make sure that you people that are in charge in the church of these sort of things, of getting out boxes for street clothing and shoes, what they need to do, you have to write a letter, Mrs. Johnson, Joni Johnson, and Brother Johnson, Steve. I write a letter to her and get all her sizes so that you can get them there before September. That's only 2 months from now. And you have to act quickly, because it takes time for those clothes to get there, and it takes time for them to go through all the different channels in a prison. I was in prison for the gospel's sake, just like Jesus, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, and all the other apostles, and I know the routine that it takes to get your clothes. They have to make a request. They have to fill out a sheet and send it in with all their sizes on it, and make sure that you inform her. She may not know these things, because the prison is not that informative as to what you have to do in order to get out of there with decent-looking street clothes. We need all her sizes. All right, then what?
I thank you for everything, and thank God for you, your friend in Christ, J.W. from Vandalia, Missouri.
Praise the Lord. Now, what's the next one?
From Pontiac, Illinois. Pastor Alamo, first of all, I send my warmest regards to you and yours in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As you may already know, I am incarcerated. I got a chance to read one of your newsletters, and I was hit with such truth. Pastor Alamo, I was wondering if there is a way for me to receive more of your newsletters.
Oh, absolutely. We'll just stock this person up. They're really saved. And then what else?
It serves as a very big help to me understanding the Bible a lot better. I was completely taken by your beautiful work and hoping I could receive more. Also, I've read that you have some form of literature and a book called The Messiah. I would like to have the information needed to purchase anything I can.
Oh, we don't sell anything. It's all free of charge. These tapes and all the literature, we wouldn't sell you. I wouldn't sell you this literature or these tapes for if you offered me all the money in the world. The Lord gave me salvation freely, and I give it freely. Now, people want to give tithes so that we can branch out further and give more literature out. You're certainly welcome, and you're certainly in the book of Malachi commanded to give tithes and offerings. Otherwise, you're robbing God. But we certainly don't sell the literature, and we certainly don't ask anyone that's in prison or poverty-stricken for anything at all, except we may ask you to distribute literature for us. And we'll send you as much as you need, and Bibles too. So make sure, if you have friends there in prison, write them a letter, Brother Steve and Sister Joni, that if they have friends there, all they have to do is give us the friends' names and their numbers there in prison, and we'll load them up with literature too if they want it. Okay, then what else?
Hopefully my wishes can and will become a reality.
This is not a wish, really, because you're praying to us to do what the Lord has commanded us to do, and we're doing it. If you people ask God in the world, you're going to receive. You know, if it's legitimate, if it's not, you know, people that are users, that have got plenty of everything and just want everything given to them, and they're not really interested in serving the Lord. But if you really want to serve the Lord, everything is free of charge to you. Don't you worry at all about that. Okay, then what else?
I am grateful to have had a chance to review just a little of your work. Truly, it is beautiful. Hope to hear from you soon. I live and pray in the name of Jesus that everything that is well will remain well. Your brother in Christ, D.T. from Pontiac, Illinois.
Praise the Lord. Then what?
Then from Corcoran, California. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, peace, grace, and mercy from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For the 6 years that I've been walking with the Lord, I've been praying for the Lord to bless me with the gift of a good, truthful church. Last month, the Lord answered my prayers by allowing me to run across one of your world newsletters. In my walk with the Lord, because of his mercy, he has never permitted that I be misguided. Too many false prophets have come to me with a false Christ, but the Son of God, Christ Jesus himself, always keeps me from liars.
Praise the Lord. That's just marvelous. Amen. Me too. All right, then what?
You, Pastor Alamo, teach the truth, and I would like to be a member of your church, that is, the Alamo Christian Ministries. Your material is of much need here in this prison. I am sharing it with everybody that wants them. Please feel free to send me as much written materials as you can. I will pass it around to all.
Just write them a letter and ask them, just tell us how much you need, and we'll be glad to furnish it. And if they don't allow you to have bulk amounts, just give us the names of the people in the prison that want the literature and their numbers, and we'll send them the literature too, so it doesn't look like you're a big distributor in the prison, if it's necessary to do that. If not, well, then go ahead and give us the names, or we'll just go ahead and send it to you. All right, then what?
This is for the glory of God and no one else.
Amen.
I thank you for all the written materials you just sent me. May God bless and keep you and your near ones. You keep on preaching the truth. There are people here that need it. I know I need it. God always takes care of his own. Because of his blood, your brother, C.C., Corcoran, California.
Praise the Lord. Now, where's the next letter from?
Ghana, Africa.
That looks like a pretty long one. Go ahead.
Dear Pastor, I am very grateful to write this letter to you. How are you? I hope by the grace of God your ministry is moving on well as I am. I have received your parcel, 6 Bibles, and a lot of gospel literature. In fact, I enjoyed it a lot, and I can truly say that because of your ministry, my ministry has also transformed. Through your gospel literature and your Bibles, a lot of souls have turned their lives to Christ. I am very grateful and appreciate how experienced you are, and also how your gospel literature has reached the whole world. In fact, may God bless you and lift you up to another level of your ministry. Pastor, your gospel literature has turned about 450 souls. I send your literature to hospitals, schools, colleges, house to house, etc. a great testimony that I will never forget what God has done through your Christian magazines and world newsletter is that about a month ago, as usually done, I was on the way to evangelism on a lorry. I picked a lorry which was traveling for about 250 miles away.
I wonder what a lorry is. Okay, but anyway, go ahead.
To God.
At least you know that I'm not writing this. Okay, what else? I've never heard such great mail in my life. I mean, we just have been getting it consistently for years now. All right, go ahead.
To God be the glory. To cut a very long story short, after praying and preaching with them, a 35 years of age man called me closer to him in the car for him to discuss something with me. In fact, this man said a lot, and I was very happy for his conversion. Pastor, after reading your Christian Ministries World Newsletter, he said, "May I know your name?" I told him. Then this man said, "Do you know that after giving this Christian Ministries literature to me, and after I read them, I have repented, and that through you have saved a soul?" I was surprised, and I asked him to explain it well for me. This man said, "I am off from Kumasi to another town about 250 miles away. He said his aim was going to kill a friend who had done something very wrong to him, and he couldn't forgive him. He can't even sit nor stand, but in his mind and heart, what he hears, his thoughts, is to go and kill this friend so that he will be free. He said if he kills him, even if it will be life in prison, it will be very better for him. But thanks and glory be to God that he said, 'Since I read this Christian newsletter, I've repented and would not do this harm to the fellow, but rather forgive him.' This murderer confessed his sins to all the people in the bus."
Well, that's, you know, the right thing to do is to forgive him and even go a step further than that, to give him some literature, too, so that he will get saved and go to this man for and ask him for forgiveness for whatever it is that made him so angry against him. And so that's what we, you know, a lot of people, I see these false prophets and all these false religions destroying souls by the millions, and I don't get angry at them for doing it. I'm very angry at Satan for using them in that way. But what it does is it makes me want to preach the gospel to them, because I know that the world government thinks it's really right to bomb Muslims and to Buddhists and all the different false religions. And it's being done by a false religion, the Vatican. They're the ones that are in charge of the one world government, one world cult, and the news media. And they're the ones that are creating all these wars and with third world countries who don't have enough money to wage war against us. And so what they've reverted to is terrorism. They're striking back. Even a rat will strike back if you are going to kill them and their little children and everything. So it's no wonder that they're doing this, and they're jeopardizing all of us in the United States because of this satanic spirit that dwells in Rome and has offered people, the world, just as Satan did Christ, to just do whatever Satan wants them to do. And that's what they're doing, is he wants to take over the world. This is his last bid to take over the world. And what good is it going to do him? He knows that his time is short and that he's going to burn forever in eternity in the lake of fire. He knows that it's endless, and even after trillions and billions of years, it'll be just like 1 second in eternity, because eternity is a place that never ends. And hell and the lake of fire goes on forever. So it's very important for people to let the Holy Spirit, which is symbolized by the cross, take over your life, to crucify it, to put an end to your hatred, to put an end to your carnal desires and your lusts, to put an end to your tongue. The Lord doesn't want you to use your tongue. He wants to use your tongue to preach the gospel, because he says that the tongue has the power to kill and the tongue has the power to bring forth life. If the tongue is preaching the gospel, it will bring forth life. But just as this man here, the Holy Spirit got a hold of him from one of my pieces of literature, and he got a hold of his heart and his spirit, and he doesn't want to murder any longer. And so this man that isn't going to be murdered now doesn't realize it, but he should be thanking and praising the Lord. And all you people out there in Radio Land should be praising and thanking the Lord, because every one of the people that we win to the Lord, or any Christian wins to the Lord. What we're doing is, doing is the Holy Spirit is putting an end to somebody's a former life that may have potentially murdered you, or somebody that would have robbed you, or maybe murdered one of your loved ones. And so you should thank the Lord for people that are out here preaching the Word of God. Now, there's no question about that. And like they said, my literature that they distributed saved another 450 souls. And not every one of them gave a testimony like this, but there may have been others in that crowd that was saved on just a few days that would have potentially done something really bad to people. For sure, there isn't any good being done. I saw TV programs of this medical channel where people were saved, their lives were spared miraculously. They had terrible brain damage, and they lived, and they gave all the credit to the doctors. Well, God is the one that put the doctors there and gave them the knowledge and so on. But God could have caused them to not even have to have gone through the disease or the accidents that they went into if they were being led by the Holy Spirit. And so they said, we give all the credit to the doctors and to an ambulance that just happened to be there, and some paramedics that just happened to be there. They just happened to be there. Nothing is by accident, you know. They happened to be there because the Lord wanted them to be there, and it spared your life. And if I were you, I'd give all the glory to the Lord, and I began serving him, because you very well could have died. One of them was one of these acrobats, and the whole goal in her life, she was just 11 years old, was to get back so that she could do these aerobics. So what do they call that they used to be in? Gymnastics, you know. Instead of giving her entire life to the Lord after having survived such a major surgery where they had to take a whole chunk of her skull off and it was bulging out, and they had to take splinters out of her brain, and they said they gave up three of these different people for dead, and they miraculously came around. Well, the Lord let them live as so that they might do something for him, that they might do something for the people in the world. What good is it if we watch somebody doing gymnastics? That doesn't do anybody any good. So it's like, people in the world saying, amuse me, and clapping their hands. And so you go out and tumble and break your neck, and then what? Oh, you went down in history that you could do some flip-flops. But what good is that going to do? All the things that you do for the Lord Jesus Christ in this world, everything that you continue on doing will be rewarded eternally. In heaven, people will praise the Lord and say hello to you and thank you very much for being the one that God was able to use to win my soul. I'm here in heaven because of you. Now that is rewarding to me. You know, all this stuff about doing flip-flops or boxing or doing something that is just immaterial. It's just nothing. But anyway, continue on with the letter, please.
This murderer confessed his sins to all the people in the bus, and through that, about 23 people also repented in the bus. And also this man showed all his tools for the murder to us, and through the repentance he gave them to me to burn them. And about 90 miles away he said, I can't continue my journey, but rather stopped. He said the fellow friend who was going to be killed, he called him on the phone in a laughing way, and he was happily waiting for him, but not knowing that this man was coming to kill him. Pastor, this murderer said, I have not been to any church before, But now through these gospel literatures and the Word of God I have heard, I now turn my life to Jesus and I'm going to church.
That's why the satanic one-world government and media is doing everything in its power to stop the street ministry that we have from distributing literature on cars and to get them to the people out in the world, because Satan doesn't want people to be saved. He doesn't want people to be born again of the Spirit. He doesn't want to stop people from murdering. That's why they don't even send most of the people to the gas chamber or the needle or to the electric chair. They just Satan just slaps them on the wrist a little bit. And they give people strong of sentences to people that distribute literature and preach the gospel as they do people that murder. As a matter of fact, they give stronger sentences to them. They didn't think anything evil about going into David Koresh's place and killing all those Christians there, those mothers and dads and little children. And they made it the media, the mouth of Satan, which is the media, the mass media, just made it look like they were some kind of a cult. But, you know, anything other than people that are preaching the gospel is a cult. The people that are killing, bombing people all over the world, this is the Vatican, and they're using the United States to bully the people of the world. This is the cult. They are the cult. And, of course, they're the cult, real cult. Satan is going to call anyone that's preaching the gospel a cult. That's what they did to Jesus. And Jesus healed whole cities, whole towns of people. People came from different countries into Israel to get healed, and every single one of them were healed. And then he raised the dead. And of course, the religious people couldn't do that because they're just in it for the buck. All it is money. And the government wouldn't do anything, say anything good about him, because they were getting paychecks from the government, and so they're going to go with whoever pays them. And of course, to me, you know, the payment that we receive eternally is far better than any paycheck that you could ever get in this world. If they were paying you $100 million a month, still, that, or billions of dollars, or the whole world for that matter, what would it be in comparison to your eternal everlasting soul? And, you know, all these people that are riding high now and killing and bombing all kinds of different people and countries and throwing people in, killing Christians and throwing them in prisons and just going crazy. Satan knows that his time is short and he's furious. And he's doing just openly, he's come out of the closet and is openly just murdering people by the hundreds of millions. And he knows that soon he's going to be frying, burning, and going through such misery forever, and it's never going to end. And just what a wonderful day that will be to be rid of all evil. And these false prophets that are saying that, oh, God is going to forgive them, they're the dirtiest, filthiest liars that ever breathed a breath on this planet. Don't you ever believe that God is going to forgive them, because they've already blasphemed the Holy Spirit, and there's no forgiveness for that on this, in this planet or in the world to come. And don't you ever forget that. Okay, then what?
This murderer stopped the bus and said, I won't go to that town. I also stopped with him and counseled him, and through that I gave him my phone number and address, and after we separated, the next week he called me and said, I'm no more a sinner again, but a born-again Christian. And I'm also an Assemblies of God church member.
Now the Assembly of God also has joined the United Council of Churches, which is Rome, and they sold all their church properties to the Roman Catholic cult. And I mean, they used to be real good, but and they're in Springfield, Missouri. That's their home office over there. And we're trying to. What I'm trying to do is what the Lord tells me to do, is just get the gospel to them. And all of those that are of not that mind should get out of there if they're not going to repent and change. Same thing with the Episcopalians. They've joined the One World Church, and they've got a cult. And they've also appointed themselves, this happened a couple of years ago, I guess, they appointed a homosexual over there to be the leader of their cult, and I put out literature in that regard to show how evil that is. And through that literature, many people left the Episcopalian cult and became, they were appalled at it, because it's the same as Catholicism. The Methodists, all of them, United Methodists, United Presbyterian, they're all one and the same. And, you know, if you hate me for telling you the truth, well, then you're really in trouble with the Lord. You've got to let the Lord speak to you. The Bible says that the Word of God is God. And the Word of God came into this world and became flesh, so you'd have genuine human blood to shed for you so that your sins could be forgiven. Now, no religion has done that for you, and no religion can save your soul. But the Lord Jesus Christ will save you. He's already provided salvation for you by the shedding of his blood, by his burial, by his resurrection, his ascension into heaven. His rulership over all power in heaven and earth has been given to him. And also, we are able to fight spiritual warfare with the Word of God. And we can be part, we are now part of his actual body. There's only one body of Christ, and we cannot be the fullness of the stature of Christ outside of his body. Some people say, I don't have to go to the gathering place where all the Christians are. I can just serve the Lord outside of that body, but you're deadly wrong. You're definitely wrong. And you better read the Bible or read my literature, and then so it'll explain to you the things in the Bible so that you'll be able to know that you're wrong. You cannot come up with your own doctrine and be saved. You cannot serve the Lord alone. It takes a body of members of the body of Christ that are going to help you. It's well, the church life, the body life is wonderful, because if you get sick, there are people in the body of Christ that will take care of you. If you lose your job, you're going to be fed and you've got a place to live. If you need clothing, there'll be plenty there, because God always provides for the body. And no matter what happens, and if you don't have the money to send your kids to school, there's money in there's actually the Christian schools right in with the body. And so it just doesn't make sense to leave the body or to not be part of the church life or the New Jerusalem. That's what the body is, or the building of Christ, the temple of God. And the Bible says that in the last days, just before Christ comes back to earth again, that Satan would sit down in the temple of God in Jerusalem. Well, we're the New Jerusalem in the body of Christ, is what that's talking about. And that's why you see all these people that are gathering together with these false prophets, is because Satan has gone into them. They are the temple of God, and he's sitting down in there and saying that he is God by listening to those false prophets and doing what these false prophets are telling them to do. That scripture is in 2 Thessalonians, and he says that the Apostle Paul stated that Christ would not come back to earth again until you see that happen. Well, if you were really spiritual, you'd be able to see that that has already happened. Can't you see all these false prophets? How can you tell if they're false prophets if you're not reading the Bible? The Bible shows you plainly that they're wrong, that they're evil, that they're of their father, the devil, and not of the Lord at all. And that's why all these people, they say they see so many false prophets, and they're so thankful to be able to hear the truth and to read the truth. Thank God we're on all these radio stations now. We're covering all the world on radio. And so, you know, throughout the United States, we're on AM and FM radios. And throughout Europe, we're on shortwave. And Australia and New Zealand, and in Africa, they don't have, most of the people in Africa don't have television, but they really can't afford radios, but they have shortwave radios that they listen to. And so we're there, and we're in all throughout Europe and Africa and India, they're listening to us on shortwave radio, and China and everywhere. All right, so let's continue on here.
Your ministry has helped my ministry a lot, and may God sustain you. Now, through your literature, I have organized a lot of souls, and also I have about 16 groups of hairdressers who have all repented, and I always preach to them and also pray with them. Through your ministries and literature, I have also organized under 18 years youths whom I teach the Word of God to.
You see that? Even in the body of Christ, you can get your hair fixed. Amen?
Amen.
Because there's people of all talents there, and they will they even fix your teeth. I mean, you're the dentist, and they take care of your... there's doctors, and there's like people that fix your hair. All right, then what else? 16 of them. Okay, then what? That's something, amen?
Amen.
If you want to have curly locks, all right, then what else?
Now, through the help of your ministries, I have been able to organize about 450 souls who are apprentices, not forgetting school evangelism. In fact, let's thank God, my prayer is yet to come to pass that I said, the rest of my years on this earth, I will sacrifice my life and do well, that the word will reach the unreached places.
Well, that's our reasonable duty, to sacrifice life, because God himself, in the body of Jesus Christ, the human body, gave his life so that he could shed the genuine human blood so that we could be saved and all of our former sins could be taken away. And he'll do that for you right now if you just let him. If you just ask him, come in, Lord Jesus, wash all my filthy sins away in your precious blood. I know that you won't turn me away because your word says so. And therefore, I know you've heard and answered me, and I'm saved. And just raise your hands up and praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Now I have organized 3 secondary school students whom, by God's grace, I have established a scripture union with them. And I tell you, you need to see all this with your real eyes. In fact, what God is doing through your ministries, I can't say all this in this letter.
Well, praise the Lord. Steve and Joni, write them letters and ask them for pictures. If they don't have the money for film, send them some film. If they don't have a camera, send them a camera. All right, then what? Because we want to put those pictures in our newsletters. All right, then what else? We get so many pictures from the different foreign lands of them distributing the literature, and they've got big signs up, the Alamo Christian Ministries and Alamo Church and Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, all these things, you know, and it's just like worldwide. Okay, then what?
Pastor, now you have done a lot, but I urge you to continue to help my ministry. Continue to assist my ministry, and I know your labor will never be in vain.
Oh, I know that too. That's why I keep laboring, and I'll never stop. Then what?
Please, I beg you in Jesus' name, my new converts are all requesting for Bibles, and I therefore need your assistance a lot. Please, I need about 100 Bibles.
Okay, we just, they're going to have a whole tractor trailer load and a half of Bibles coming down from the East Coast, and make sure that they get their 100 Bibles. We had them just all printed up. Alamo Christian Ministry Bibles, they're the King James Version. So get them out there to them right away, all right? So Steve and Joni, you get the distribution department to send them out right away as soon as they get there. I know we have some anyway. You may have already sent them for that matter. Then what else?
In fact, it is my prayer that God be with you and also grant you more sponsors to print more Bibles so that we Africans can also spread the gospel, especially in villages.
Well, so far, we don't have sponsors. We've been doing it ourselves. What we do is the Lord sends the finances in because we work, and we take that money and put it right into the ministry. And we'd love to see some sponsors, so any of you people out there that would like to sponsor Bibles or literature or whatever, we'll be. God will bless you for it 100-fold, he says, and if you trust the Lord, then do it. And don't hesitate. What more do you need to hear? Okay, before it's going to move you to keep the commandments of the Lord. All right, then what?
Please, I need more Bibles urgently. I end here with much greetings and hope to hear from you very soon. Thank you. Yours in his service, B.A. from Ghana, Africa.
Okay, like Steve and Joni, make sure you write them and let them know that their letter was read on international radio, and so we're appealing to people to be able to help sponsor some more Bibles and literature. And even if they don't, we're going to send it to them. Well, God will send it to us one way or the other, and we'll get all the rewards. I don't mind getting the rewards. Praise the Lord. I trust the Lord. I believe him. Okay, is that it?
Yes.
All right, now, so now the eighth chapter of Matthew, and we'll just go through the translation because you're all probably reading your King James Version anyway, and because we've already had so many letters, and we've got a couple pages of commentary here. All right, let's go.
Jesus heals a man with leprosy. Verse 1. Large crowds follow Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Verse 2. Suddenly a man with leprosy approached Jesus. He knelt before him, worshiping. Quote, Lord, unquote, the man said. Quote, if you want to, you can make me well again, unquote. Verse 3. Jesus touched him. Quote, I want to, unquote, he said. Quote, be healed, exclamation mark, unquote.
I said, if you want to, and Jesus said, I want to, be healed. All right? Jesus wants to heal you. So you don't have to say, if you want to. You just say, because the Lord has already healed you. He said, by my stripes, you were healed. And all you have to do is to receive that. So if you're sick, or you have, I hear these people saying that they have migraine headaches, or they've got some kind of sickness. If you believe the Lord is the way, the truth, and the life, He's the truth. You agree with him. He said, by my stripes you were healed. Then receive your healing right now and thank him and praise him for having provided that for you many years ago. And his word doesn't get polluted down through the years. Your faith gets polluted, I suppose. But have faith in that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and receive your healing now. And receive, for that matter, your salvation now. And receive your prosperity now. The Lord doesn't want you to be broke and hungry, okay? But just serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and all these things are yours. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, all the things he tells you to do, and all things will be added unto you. You don't have to worry about anything. Worry never got anybody anything. Just serve the Lord and believe him, and all things are yours. Okay, then what?
And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Verse 4, then Jesus said to him, quote, go right over to the priest and let him examine you. Don't talk to anyone along the way.
Right, because in the Old Testament, when a person was healed of leprosy, they were supposed to go into the high priest and show that they've been healed, and then they had to make a sacrifice. And so they hadn't done that for years, but God, because hardly anybody was healed from leprosy until Jesus came on the scene. All right, when he came on the scene, now here's this, all these people getting healed, and these phonies, these priests, and the high priest himself, he says, go in there and tell them, I got healed. Look at this. You know, you knew I was a leper, now look at me. He wanted to shock them. Jesus sent him in there. Okay, then what?
Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy, so everyone will have proof of your healing, unquote.
Yeah, you just wanted to shock him because that hadn't happened for centuries. All right, then what?
Faith of the Roman officer. Verse 5. When Jesus arrived in Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him. Verse 6. Quote, Lord, my young servant lies in bed paralyzed and racked with pain, unquote. Verse 7, Jesus said, quote, I will come and heal him, unquote. Verse 8.
He didn't say, well, maybe I'll heal him. He said, I will come and I will heal him. For sure, he's going to be healed. If I come there, he'll be healed. Actually, if I don't even come there, if I say, be healed, and he's a 1,000 miles away or 10,000 miles away, he's going to be healed. Because God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is all the power of God, and he is the power over the elements. His word is actually holding this earth up in the air, and all the other galaxies, all the other planets, the sun, the moon, the star, everything is in order. Okay, then what?
Verse 8. Then the officer said, quote, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed! Exclamation mark. Verse 9. I know because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, quote, go, unquote, and they go, or, quote, come, unquote, and they come.
He's always telling Jesus, I've heard about all the people that you've healed, I mean, whole towns of them, and so I know that you've got the authority over disease, sickness, infirmities, blind eyes, deaf ears, cancer, leprosy, everything under the sun. You've got authority over all this stuff. You can actually raise the dead. I know these things. I've got faith to know that all you have to do is say the word, because you have power and dominion over the elements, the actual life, death, sickness, disease, infirmities. You have power and dominion over the entire heavens and the earth. So, I mean, I have authority over just a few guys. And I tell them to go here and go there, and you tell disease to go here, and you tell sickness, infirmities, blind eyes, and to go straight into the pit of hell. That's it. Into hell is where you tell it to go, and it goes. I mean, I'm a man of authority too, but I only have authority over men. You've got authority over everything. Okay, go ahead.
And if I say to my slaves, quote, do this or that, unquote, they do it. Verse 10.
So the elements, sickness and disease, are your slaves too. When you tell them to go, they go. Amen?
Amen.
In a hurry. Okay, then what?
Verse 10. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd, he said, quote, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all the land of Israel! Exclamation mark. Verse 11. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 12. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be cast into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Unquote.
Right, because they've seen all these miracles. They've read about them, they heard about them, and they've seen them raise people from the dead, and they still... their eyes were so blinded. They just wanted to go along with tradition rather than faith in the Lord, that he was God. And now, if God came to the earth, what more could he possibly do to prove that he was God? Okay, by raising the dead, wouldn't that prove to you that the man is God?
Amen.
In the flesh? Or if to heal everybody in town without taking any medicine, just saying that we're casting devils out? Yeah, you'd think so, but they didn't. And so they're all lost, and these Gentiles that were receiving the Lord will be saved. Okay, but there's many Jews today that believe, and the first believers were Jews. Don't forget that, and the Jews are the ones that wrote the whole Bible, and if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be hearing this truth. Okay, then what?
Verse 13, then Jesus said to the Roman officer, quote, go on home. What you have believed has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour.
So this was a Gentile. He was a Roman. He was an Italian. There's Jews and then there's Gentiles. The Jews, everyone other than a Jew, is a Gentile. A Norwegian, a Puerto Rican, a Cuban, you know, all these different islands. They're all Gentiles. But they become spiritual Jews, Norwegians and Swedes and people from Denmark, Russia, and all those. You become a spiritual Jew. You become part of the new Jerusalem once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and his spirit enters into you, because Jew actually means those that believe God, those that let God deliver them from this world. The Lord says, love not the world or any of the things in it, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. So give up all that so that you can have immortality, because you, for sure, don't know that you're going to see another sunrise. You don't know that you're going to live another hour, or a half hour, or a minute. This woman that was into aerobics, she went in to a diving place, and she was diving. While she's waiting on the diving board, there was a 25-pound iron fixture up in the air, four stories up, that came crashing down on this 11-year-old girl's skull and busted it wide open. And she's the one I was talking about at the beginning of this tape, where they didn't give glory to God that she lived, because her head was mush, and she lived. And she's still doing tumbling instead of serving the Lord. If I were her, I'd be out passing out literature, and I wouldn't be giving all the glory to those physicians. Even though God had them there and guided their hands, they gave her up for dead. They said it has to be a miracle, and they said it was a miracle. Okay, then what?
Jesus heals many people. Verse 14. When Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was in bed with a high fever. Verse 15, but when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Then she got up and prepared a meal for him. Verse 16, that evening many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. All the spirits fled when he commanded them to leave, and he healed all the sick.
He's the boss of every spirit. He tells them to leave, and they got to leave. He tells disease to leave, and it has to leave. He tells sickness, disease, infirmities to leave, blind eyes to leave, and they have to leave. Deaf ears to leave, and they have to leave. He's the boss of the elements of everything. And he's boss over the devil. The devil doesn't dare argue with him. When he tells the devil to leave, he leaves. The devil asks him permission all the time if he can torment somebody. And if the person doesn't want to serve the Lord, or they refuse and they're a demonic type person, or even if they're a Christian, they're getting off the straight and narrow track, the Lord will turn, let the devil have at him for a while so that they'll start calling out to God, so that God will make a move for them and get them back on the path. Say, all right, you want to be a demonic person and not listen to me? Well, then here, I'll put the devil right in your life, and he lets that happen. You can see that. Like Job was allowing his children to just be gluttons. They were wine bibbers and gluttons, and they were just sitting at the table dining all the time and banqueting every day. And Job would send up prayers for them, but instead of going there and say, look, this is the end of this, no more wine, no more, you're going to get out here and go to work. And so the Lord crushed them all, destroyed them, and took everything away from Job. Then when Job finally went through the fire there for a while, then God rebuked him, and then rebuked the people that were supposedly his comforters, his friends, and then gave him more than he had before. All right, then what?
Verse 17, this fulfilled the word of the Lord through Isaiah, who said, quote, ye took our sicknesses and removed our diseases, unquote.
He healed everybody. Then what?
The cost of following Jesus. Verse 18, when Jesus noticed how large the crowd was growing, he instructed his disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. Verse 19, then one of the teachers of religious law said to him, quote, teacher, I will follow you no matter where you go, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 20, but Jesus said, quote, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but I, the Son of Man, have no home of my own, not even a place to lay my head, unquote. Verse 21, another of his disciples said, quote, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father, unquote. Verse 22, but Jesus told him, quote, follow me now, exclamation mark. Let those who are spiritually dead care for their own dead, unquote.
Yeah, if your mother and dad are not serving the Lord and they don't want to, and they die, you're busy serving the Lord. You're alive. That's not your family anymore. They asked, the Lord asked, who is my mother? Who is my brethren? He said, those that serve the Lord. That isn't really your mother or dad. Of course, you want to get them saved and preach the gospel to them and live an upright life before them in the Lord. But that isn't your mother and dad. If they're dead and they want to stay dead, well, then you just go ahead and let them bury their own dead. Let them, because you're busy winning souls to eternal life, to God's life, to permanent life. Okay, then what?
Jesus calms the storm. Verse 23. Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake, which is also called the Sea of Galilee. It's called Lake Kinnereth, or the Sea of Galilee, with his disciples. Verse 24. Suddenly a terrible storm came up with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. Verse 25, the disciples went to him and woke him up, shouting, quote, Lord, save us, exclamation mark, we're going to drown, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 26, Jesus answered, quote, why are you afraid? Ye have so little faith, exclamation mark, unquote. Then he stood up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly all was calm.
See, he's the power over all the elements, wind, waves, everything. Then what?
Verse 27, the disciples just sat there in awe. Quote, who is this? Unquote, they asked themselves. Quote, even the wind and waves obey him, exclamation mark, unquote. Jesus heals two demon-possessed men. Verse 28. When Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake in the land of the Gadarenes, two men who were possessed by demons met him. They lived in a cemetery and were so dangerous that no one could go through that area. Verse 29. They began screaming at him, quote, "Why are you bothering us, Son of God? You have no right to torture us before God's appointed time!" Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 30. A large herd of pigs was feeding in the distance. Verse 31. So the demon said, quote, "If you cast us out, send us into that herd of pigs," unquote. Verse 32, quote, "All right, go!" Exclamation mark, unquote. Jesus commanded them. So the demons came out of the men and entered the pigs, and the whole herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water.
When you're there in Israel, you can tell exactly where that happened, because there's only one steep place. It's directly across from Capernaum, the town, and it's just really steep there. Everything else is pretty flat all around the lake. So you know exactly that's where it happened. And also, when it says that Jesus went up to a mount, there's only one mountain right there at Capernaum. It's a huge mountain. And you can tell that that's where he climbed up there to pray. Praise the Lord. You know, I mean, it's just so wonderful to be in Israel, you know, because if you know the Bible and you see all these different things that are talked about in the Bible and where it's at, it just thrills you all the time. I was thrilled all the time I was there. Then what?
Verse 33. The herdsmen fled to the nearby city, telling everyone what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Verse 34. But the entire town came out to meet Jesus, but they begged him to go away and leave them alone.
All right, that was chapter 34, and now commentary. I mean, chapter 8 with its 34 verses of Matthew, and now the commentary.
8 verses 2 through 4. Jesus' handling of the leper demonstrated his ability to bring about instant physical recovery to people. And of course, we are the incarnation of Christ here on earth, and the same thing happens if we believe and we are led by the Spirit in response to people's faith. Jesus then directed the grateful leper to be examined immediately, calling him to display his deliverance and faith publicly. Emotional and spiritual recovery generally involves, for people that go to doctors, a long process. But when the Lord heals you from a physical problem, he instantly heals sometimes. But it all depends.
Most of the time, and all the times here in the Bible he did, and I've seen people instantly healed almost all the time. I never really have witnessed gradual healings that much. It's always instant. Okay, then what?
But it all depends on a person's faith. So depending on people's faith is also hinged to like a timetable. If you have the faith now, it'll happen now. If you gradually grow in faith, then you'll be gradually healed. The same thing with the Spirit, that you're going to grow spiritually to the fullness of the stature of Christ. It comes the same way. It has a place where it starts and a place where it ends. The same Jesus who healed instantly is also the originator and perfecter of the entire process of our soul, our mind, our body, our spirit being healed in a period of time. That's why in patience we must preserve our souls. So you can read Hebrews 12:2. Chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. The healing of the Roman officer's servant has much to teach every one of those who are into believing God, who want faith. The officer understood and humbly admitted his need, believing that Jesus could heal his young servant, even from a distance. Jesus marveled because such faith was rare, even among God's chosen people, the Jews. We see here that Jesus came to bring deliverance to all people, Jew and Gentile alike, whether they're men, women, boys, or girls, rich or poor, religious or people who are saved, non-religious. With God's help, through God's power, we are able to have hope for healing and for our souls being healed and saved, no matter who we are or what we have done. Christ will forgive and drown all of our former sins in the sea of his forgetfulness and never remember them again, and he'll heal you. He'll heal us all. Chapter 8, verses 23 through 32. In this passage, Jesus exhibited power over both the weather and the demonic realm. In both cases, his disciples learned about faith and the incredible power of God. Faith is different than the things in this carnal world. Since Jesus has the ability to calm a mighty storm and rid people of demonic influences, he can certainly empower us in his body to do all the things that the Lord says that he caused people to do in chapter 10.
Which is, all these signs will follow you. Okay, then what?
To lay hands on the sick, and they would recover from all sickness, disease, and infirmities. Also to raise the dead, to cast out devils, and preach the gospel. We can experience God's power by first recognizing how powerless we are, and then by giving or life and receiving faith through his word. In chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, the Jewish religious leaders thought it blasphemous that Jesus claimed to forgive sins, but they considered it just as impossible for him to heal the paralyzed man. By doing the impossible of healing the paralytic, Jesus made it clear to his critics that he also had the power to forgive sin. Inclusive in his activities was his claim to deity, because only God can forgive sins. Knowing this truth should give us the courage to turn to Jesus for help of every kind. We must turn to him for forgiveness of our former sins and also our sins of ignorance. As God's own Son, Jesus has the power to give us forgiveness for the sins of ignorance, and he gives the growth that we need to become like him to all those who have faith in him, who trust in him.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, we have part 9 of receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Sharing the same position with Christ. When a person arrives at the full stature of Christ, he is in the same position as Christ. Not only an objective fact, but also in experience. Christ is seated in the heavens, so also is he. Christ is on the throne, and so is he. At this time, he is not easily shaken, neither can he fall easily. Before a man's spiritual life attains to maturity, he is not stable. A month ago, he may have been greatly uplifted and zealous for the Lord. The next month, he may be exceedingly depressed and weak, to the point of even being unwilling to come to church services. Some brothers and sisters, when they are well received and lifted up, become overjoyed and beside themselves. But when they are opposed, or they are being told the things that are wrong with them, and they become troubled, they become depressed and downcast. These ups and downs prove that the life is still immature. However, when man's life has attained maturity, Christ's life in them has reached maturity, and they are seated with Christ on the throne in heaven. He does not rise and fall, nor waver easily. When you welcome him, he is a certain kind of person. When you oppose him, he remains the same. If you lift him up, he is on the throne. If you trouble him, he is still on the throne. When the prophet Elijah heard that Jezebel desired to kill him, he became exceedingly fearful. He fled and sat under a juniper tree, requesting that he might die. 1 Kings chapter 19.
That ever happened to you? All right, then what?
This is because he had descended from Mount Carmel. Likewise, when one descends from the heavenly
position... You have to say on top of Mount Carmel. Amen?
Amen.
Now you have to say ascended with Christ in heavenly places. All right, then what?
Likewise, when one descends from the heavenly position, he is easily confused and frightened. Nevertheless, one who has attained to maturity of life lives in the Spirit in the life of Christ. He is perfect with Christ. He shares his position and is not easily disturbed or excited. Just as Christ is stable and sure in the heavens, so also is he. One whose life has attained unto maturity is one who is stable and steady.
All right, praise the Lord. That was Matthew chapter 8 with the 34 verses translation and commentary, and then also part 9 of receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've heard several letters, responses, to the literature and seen how many hundreds of people in just one letter were saved. And tomorrow, God willing, we'll be doing chapter 9 of the book of Matthew, and also part 10 of receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, the Word of God is God. That is not just a book. That book, you open it up and you're looking at God. The Word of God is God. And the Word of God is able to keep you sitting in heavenly places and to where you're not depressed or that you will not fall one day and rise the next. You'll be steady and you'll be growing into the fullness of the stature. Don't just rely on my literature and these messages on tape to keep you stabilized in the Lord. You must read for yourself, and there's things that God will give you that you can tell me about that will lift me up also when you're reading the Word of God. God talks to everyone that talks to Him. He'll respond back to you, and I'd love to hear from you so that I could read some of these responses on the air or have them read. I'm legally blind. That's why I have to do these messages in advance, and then they type them up, and then we read them over the air to you. And until tomorrow, keep yourself in the Word of the Lord. Keep sitting in heavenly places. Keep reading the Word, and stay away from the world. Love not the world. And until then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you real good, and praise the Lord.